Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into the Year One podcast. We're here with Drew and Jimmy, music producers and friends of ours.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Of course, Drew, we've had, this is our three-peat, right?
Yeah,
three-peat. Dude, like hat trick.
Hey, nice, dude.
But yeah, we want to talk to you guys a little about what else you guys do outside of music.
Oh, sick.
We'll just jump right into it. What else do you guys do outside of music?
Mostly to music.
You don't.
I can't really think.
Are you trying to ask like what, like besides just like create songs, like the intricacies of music? Is that what you're asking? Are you like what do we do when we're not making music? Is that what you're asking?
No, like yeah. Outside of music, what do you guys do?
Shit, man.
Oh, that's a curveball. I don't know. You're gonna hit us with that one.
That's a great start.
That's
you
sucks,
go ahead.
Man.
You start, Jimmy.
You well,
I have a dog, so usually take him
out.
So
you're
a father. I'm a father. I'm a pit bull.
Nice.
Indeed. It's honestly it's the coolest dog ever. Maybe we can show a picture in here later.
He's so cute.
Yeah.
I gave it to you. Yeah.
He's a good boy.
He's a year and a half now.
Oh, yeah. It'll be pulled up.
Cool.
What's its name?
Monty.
Yes. I met him.
Yeah.
You did.
Drew's known him since he was a puppy.
He didn't like me.
Yeah. Carter had a bad experience.
No. I loved him.
Isn't that weird? There's like no sense of betrayal like having a dog dislike you.
Did he actually not like
you? It's like very...
I couldn't like get him to like me.
Dude, and that's the worst. And it's like the harder you try.
Was he just distracted or was he
like... And then he was just like, fuck you.
Yeah. And the harder you try, the more they dislike you.
He could see the fear in my eyes. That's what it was.
Yeah, the sixth sense.
Yeah.
That's great.
Amazing dog.
Are you a cat person? Is that your cat?
Yeah, that's Brett's cat.
Brett's cat.
Oh, it's actually Connor's.
It's a family cat.
It's a family cat.
Yeah. Gotcha. He keeps watch.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, yeah, perched up on high places. Drew, what about you?
Shit, what man. I'm not a father. So, honestly, thank God I spend a lot of my time doing music. So, besides that, it's really, like, simple. It's like, you know, going on hikes and going to the beach or just hanging out with my friends and family and getting some good food or, you know, stuff like that. Like, I really don't do anything too crazy besides music, honestly. A lot of when it's like downtime, you know.
So that was a totally rigged question.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what do you guys do? And then it's like, oh.
We're prepared for this.
Yeah,
we were ready for this.
I like being outdoors whenever I can, you know.
What's that?
I like being outdoors whenever I can, you know, like going on hikes or going snowboarding and stuff like that.
Yeah, man.
Skating.
Hanging out with friends, going to the beach, skating, just enjoying the beach and the weather out here in L.A. Just,
are you from here, Jimmy?
Yeah. I actually grew up in L.A.
Which part?
I grew up in the Valley, like in the Sherman Oaks.
Oh, nice.
Where did you go to school?
I went to middle school at like a private Catholic school. I grew up going there for like 8 years. It was all right.
It was all right? Did you change it?
Yeah, well, I went to high school, I went to public school over at Pali in Pacific Palisades.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that's kind of where
how was
where I met Drew actually
in high
school. Pali,
yeah,
Pacific Palisades.
We didn't go to the same high school, but we were all connected.
Oh, this is great for the podcast. Should I go into it?
Yeah, you go.
Please. All right.
So Jimmy had an ex girlfriend. Should we name her or should we just keep it?
Yeah. Well, no, because if you do,
no names.
No names. We got no names.
Just beep it out.
We'll call her Jessica for now. Okay.
Her name was definitely Jessica.
So Jessica is my family friend.
Okay.
So my best friend growing up, the neighbors across my street, she and them are like close family. So multiple times during the year, my family and her family would see each other at like barbecues and stuff growing up. So she was like a family friend of mine. And she was dating Sir James over here. And basically, long story short, she hit me up to hang out and made sure that like she was seen in the passenger seat of my car when Jimmy was like driving by and they had like gotten in a fight or something. So Jimmy is like, oh, my Jessica is in the seat of this random dude. He doesn't know who I am, right?
Okay.
And she's like, oh my God. And I was like, what's going on? She's like, oh, let's go to this place. He'll like never be there. Sure enough, like 2 seconds after we pull up, it's like right where he was going to be going anyways, you know? And he was like, who are you, bro? And I was like, this is not what it's like, blah, blah, blah. It de-escalates the whatever. You know, and a couple years later, I like see him at a party, and it was like clear he knew who I was.
So you guys didn't talk after that.
No,
there was no.
It's
interaction.
Like every time we did interact or see each other. I don't think we've seen each other.
We saw each other a couple times, but
it was
like
always like
Jimmy
it
was not
trying
a fan
to avoid
of mine
each other
because Jessica had set it up for me to be the bad guy. You know.
Oh yeah, so she's really the one.
Yeah, she was awful, but we saw each other at a mutual friend's party. Yeah,
So you guys can like commiserate? Is that how it started? It's like, man.
Well, we just like kind of started talking.
Yeah, we found our common ground was music.
Yeah.
I think if it wasn't for that, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like, man, this girl, thank God I got my music. And you were like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm a producer. And I was like, oh, really? And I just like kept wearing him down with kindness until it was like we found out we had enough friends and mutual stuff in common. And then I actually moved in to where he was living.
So
like,
At what point were you guys like, oh, let's start making music? Or is that like a recent thing?
No, we've been making music ever since we met. I had a studio in my room. Drew came by, checked it out one day when we were having a party.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to move in.
Yeah, basically.
And so then he moved in the room right next door to me. And the way I had my room set up is I had a really high triangular ceiling, kind of like the one in here. Not as tall, obviously, but enough for me to put a loft up. So I built a second story in my room. And below it, I had the studio. And above it, I had my bedroom, which is my bed. And like a TV, and
you just built that with
and like
your
a
hands?
Little latch, a ladder.
Well,
yeah.
Tools.
Yeah.
But
you know, you didn't just like put it there.
No, they had wood, and they were like, "Stay."
So we
had it with your hands and plus tools.
Yeah,
hands plus tools.
Wait, man. Seriously, you got it like that?
Yeah.
Just, how
they put some stuff together, man?
Dude, that's sick.
Yeah, we built it.
And it was super sick, dude. Dude. Yeah.
So I guess that's so just like beyond me. I'm like, wow, you can like. Do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Math and like building? That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you learn how to do that?
I guess everything. That's what we do besides music.
Yeah, it's just build shit.
Build
like forts? Tree houses?
Soundproofing?
No, I've always wanted to build a tree house actually.
That would be awesome. Talk about have a music studio and a tree house?
That would be really dope.
That'd be pretty
next level.
Be kind of
scary. We don't have a movie, like falls? A private movie room.
We were just talking about our movie theaters. Like the movie theaters we want.
We went so far.
We talked for like probably 2 hours just about like what we want our movie theaters to look like.
Personal theater viewing.
Oh, dude,
theater.
Yeah, we went in. That's definitely something I gotta have in my house.
Tight.
Along with an armory.
Armory.
And like a shoe closet, the biggest shoe closet the world has ever seen.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think that would be tight.
Yeah. I want to have an indoor spa. That'd be sick.
A sauna.
Well, yeah, like massage table, steam sauna, maybe like jacuzzi.
My cousin has one of those in his house.
So I can like, yeah. What, you can call a professional massage therapist to come.
Literally, he has like one room that's just like a spa room. And it's like
sounds
sauna.
Pretty lit, dude.
It's just like so zen in there. There's a massage bed in the middle of the room. He gets a massage every week. Some lady comes to his house and like gives him a massage, and then
see,
I'm trying to have that.
I want to have a
TV room. I don't know if I need a theater.
Yeah, I don't need the theater.
But it's, a massage like secondary unit on your property is just like a spa. You call like two Vietnamese ladies to come like once a week, and they just stand on your back
Work
in the comfort of your own home. Sick. I'd pay good money for that.
Where it's just like steamy in there at all times.
Yeah, dude. Sauna, jacuzzi. There's a guy who comes in once a week and services the jacuzzi and everything. For real.
That would be. Actually, I don't even
plunge,
need a house.
Dude. Cold plunge. Get like a, you know.
Like an ice bucket?
Cold plunge.
Yeah, basically. You know, some ice.
You ever do the ice bucket challenge?
No.
I did.
No one ever asked me to do it, bro. Shout out everyone I knew.
You just got to shout out yourself.
Shout out everyone for not. You're gonna
not
be,
remembering
you know,
me.
One day you're gonna be like, "Damn, I should have done."
You voluntarily
that.
Did it,
just by myself.
You just did it yourself.
I nominate me.
That's
I nominate
what
my
I did.
Mom.
Yeah, yeah. Nominate your mom. Actually, I did. That's actually
really tight. Did she do it?
No,
oh,
she doesn't have
man.
Instagram.
So it kind of went nowhere.
She didn't even see it.
I'm like, wait, who am I tagging? Nobody. It's like, just mom. Mom.
Yeah, dude.
Music.
Goals.
Let's talk about music, guys.
Let's talk about music. Let's do it.
So, you didn't when you guys met, it was like something that happened later down the line. So, when is it that
this was like 2 years ago? So, it was after like I had come back from college and Jimmy came back from his college experience and we were
Where did you go to college?
I went to school up in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And then I decided to leave, like, after a year and a half of being there. Come back down to LA and just kind of follow what I love to do.
Were you studying music?
No.
What were you doing?
I was going to business school.
Business? Were you, like, doing that as a means to supply your music?
No. I was just doing it as a means of, like, something.
Oh, I gotta get a
job.
Someone's
like, figure out what you want to do at 18. You're like, I'm getting into business.
Yeah. I would have
done a similar approach.
So I went for that. And then I just didn't want to, you know, it's just like, I didn't like doing it. And I just wanted to do what I loved to do. And so I came back to LA and started pursuing that goal. And have just been working at it ever since. Yeah.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to school in Oregon. I went to business school. It sucked.
You completed it? You like got your
degree? It's interesting. I didn't get like a BA in business. Uh-huh. I changed my degree to a Bachelor of Science in a degree called Business Economics and Social Strategy, which basically was a way for me to have no GPA requirement. So, and I could take like whatever business classes I wanted without it having to affect like anything. And I was able to adopt like a special exception studio guitar minor and like kind of basically earned like a music degree as well. But halfway through college, I was like, I know I'm not going to do business, but like I still want to learn some things.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to learn accounting and certain aspects of it. But like I was able to take economics and poli sci classes and like international relations classes with my degree that was like, you know, no stress to me. So shout out University of Oregon for that.
Worked assistant.
And then I just like also earned like a spot in the music school without having to be a formal music major either. So that was like really incredible. I got to take all the music classes you could take basically without having to like stress about it. So I kind of just like
learn.
The University of Oregon's tight. And I
like
think
you went to learn.
You should go if you want
to. I think that's so sick. I think that's like the best way you could possibly do it. Because like whether you have the degree or not, you now know that knowledge.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it worked out so I was able to take stuff that was, like, pretty interesting to me. That wasn't, like, set, like, this is a major, and, like, if you follow these steps and do these curriculum, you'll get this job at this exit. It was, like, kind of just making my own, and I think I'm just thankful that I had the balls to, like, kind of be like, hey, Dad, I'm not going to get this business degree, and, like, I'm going to do this other stuff. And they were like, sure. You know, that's, like, a thing I'm grateful I did.
Shout out to the parents for supporting your dreams.
Yeah.
Dude,
shout out to the
folks.
For real, like,
100%.
That's, like,
that is so
a shot in the dark. They're, like...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I was definitely blessed enough to have
parents
who, like...
for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I had to fight them for so long to, like, not go to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, for, like, probably 2 years. I was like, yeah, no, like, I'm not going. And they're like, no, you're going. I was like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. And they were finally like, yeah, like, if that's what you want to do, like, go for it. Like, we'll support you 100%. It was funny. It was like, once they made that switch, it was like, yeah. Like,
yeah, I went
through. I think that's
transition.
Part of, like, you know, as a parent, you have to have that moment with your 18 to something.
But it's like they want the best. It's only
because
they want.
But if they see a drive and you're, like, you're passionate about something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just want to see you're going to work for something that has meaning to you.
Exactly.
No, that was like, yeah, I would not be where I am today without that for sure.
Shout out, folks. Yeah, shout out people doing good things for their kids.
Yeah, like loving your kids, man. Yeah. So, what is it that you guys are doing currently? What do you guys work together doing?
Want me to take this one?
Yeah, go for it.
Jimmy and I are like a super production team, basically. But our skill sets are like peanut butter and jelly, kind of. Between the two of us, like from starting an original idea to playing the instruments to producing it to mixing it and fully mastering it, we can kind of do all of that. So we've kind of started as a team to branch out and do all the work possible, basically.
Who's the peanut butter and who's the jelly and who does what?
I think that's the trick question, you know. I think
peanut butter.
You know, sometimes he's all right. All right, fine.
You
fine,
can
you I'll
can
be the jelly, bro.
Fine,
jelly's
be,
sick,
be.
Too.
Who said jelly was bad?
I think we're both... We just change each job. It's
like
sometimes he's the peanut butter, sometimes he's the jelly.
So, and is one of... Does one of you mainly do, like, the engineering? Or
Jimmy usually
takes
over the engineering.
Okay.
So I'm doing a lot of the engineering.
He's in the box.
Sound choice.
And can you explain like what music engineering is? Is that creating sounds like specific?
So engineering
is
actually that's the step we take after the production. So I'll be engineering after we're done producing. So Drew and I will be working on the
part of the
production.
Engineering is also recording.
Can you just like run me through it real quick, like from start to finish? So engineering like,
is the mechanism in which stuff gets recorded, like when you, to get raw sound into a computer and into a program that you can produce and mix.
Totally.
Engineering is part of that, and just the way the wires are set up and setting up the gear and how everything is handled.
Dude,
that's the engineering of it.
Yeah, I had no idea.
We're doing that as we produce. I was just talking about mixing after.
So okay, so it's like, you know, you have the song, you have the song idea or whatever, and that's another thing that I always wonder about. Like you hear bands coming together. Does it typically start with lyrics, or does it typically start with like rhythm and beat, or is
I think for us it always starts in music. I think
so.
He and I
what
are both
just
like,
jamming on stuff.
We always
kind
go
of.
Off of like
when I'm like the Energizer Bunny of songwriting. I don't know. I just like it's my anxiety. I just have to write shit. I feel like, but I
like
just,
write lyrics or write.
Sometimes I write lyrics, but mostly chordage and arrangement and like movement through like.
And are you writing sounds. It first, and then it's going into the guitar?
Usually, it's like, dude, we got this great idea, and then we like figure out how we're gonna engineer it, record it, produce it, you know. But once you have the spark, it's like, all right, how do we handle this fire and manage?
So it's like you have this idea for like, okay, this is like. You know, of course, every song has like its theme or whatever, like its thing that it almost keeps going back to, or like what the song is about, right? Like the
main
element
of it.
Like what the
I usually start that way.
So
and
is
build
it like,
around it? Yeah.
You typically start that way, where it's like, oh, I have this idea. It's like a breakup song, but it's like with this spin on it or something.
Yeah.
And it's like you take that and then you try to build on it, or
well,
is it?
I don't know. I mean, Drew, it's like Drew come. It, I don't know. We always start so differently, but say Drew will come to me with an idea and be like. A guitar loop that he's come up with, and we'll kind of just like start with that, and then I'll just start producing like everything around it, and Drew is handling arrangements, and he's like, we'll write a bass line, and then we'll just kind of like continue from there. It's just like we start with an initial idea, it's usually music, and then it builds into the production.
Yeah, you arrange it from there, so
remember,
like we get the most. The maximum it will be. We get like all the sounds, you know, in like the loop, you know, the eight bars or whatever that's going to be the meat from it. And then we dictate like, okay, now we want the intro, we want it to be softer, you know, the verse, how are we going to do the verse? And then that usually dictates, okay, then we need to, okay, let's get a Rhodes. And then, you know, it's like, what chords are that? And so it all kind of builds off of like that main
and as the arrangement progresses, more ideas come and then you start adding little things here and there. And
I'm like, oh shit, and then I'll hit the xylophone or like, you know, something random.
Yeah,
like, it just
like
it all inspires the next step, you know.
Yeah.
I remember
what's
like,
great is like we can just back and forth and bounce ideas off each other.
Right, and that's
really
what's
well.
The like of course, yeah. It's like when you have two geniuses, it's like it's just you just like so.
Well not only that,
like,
but it's like we're also each other's critics, you know, we're holding each other like accountable. So it's like I could think something's the greatest thing in the world. But like when I run it by Jimmy, I know he's gonna give me an honest answer if that's good or not, and vice versa, you know. So it's like the end result is an idea that's formed better because both of us had our hands on
it.
Dude,
that requires like a huge amount of trust between the two of you too, because like knowing that he has the same exact vision and like he would be able to see it from his point of view, but still give like an opinion that matches yours. Because it's one thing to go to someone who's like, you know, like a country singer or something, like after what, I mean, maybe that's not a good example, but you know, it's like you were to give
it's
that,
terrible.
Bounce it off that. Man, who's harsh now?
R&B singer.
But you know, you bounce it off somebody and it's like, they're gonna be like, oh no, like this isn't what I like. And like, in my opinion, that isn't good. Or like, I don't think that will work.
Right.
But having someone who it's like, you are on the exact same page. So it's like, hey, this is my opinion on it. What is your opinion on it? And just like being willing to put, like give that to the other person takes
a
lot.
Yeah. I talk about it all the time. Like the moment I realized I had to like let other people help me is when I like started getting better. Jimmy's one of the first people in my personal voyage of like not feeling like I had to do fucking everything, you know?
Yeah.
And just letting other people help, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
well, that's
how you get better. But also, like, to what you just said, too, I think one of the cool things about Jimmy is that he very much has the same end goal as me, which is just to progress as musicians and people and make better art. It's like both of us are never worried about if we're going to be on the cover of the song or whatever. It's just like, how do we make the best thing? And so I think the fact that our vision is united in that makes it easy to work. If when some people say it doesn't work or this is because it doesn't work for the goal that they've set in their mind, you know? Some artists are stubborn and don't let other people because they have such a specific idea of what they want to happen, you know? And so that's why I feel like people don't work together is because they don't have the same vision more time than they don't have, like...
And it's like it... You water down your image, and that was what I was gonna say next, or your vision, because it's once you put someone else in the equation, it's very hard, unless they are on like the exact same page, for you to like not water down your idea, but to like strengthen it and like make it better. And that is so
you gotta make sure you're rare. You gotta make sure you're in the right room with the right people,
right?
Because like you know.
Because you just have different, you have totally different ideas, and it's like you both have to be like, yes, we are both in agreement with how much we like this.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and
like I think it also comes from like liking a similar type of music. And
yeah, true. And we like we like this a lot of the similar kind of stuff too.
Yeah,
Well, our ears are tuned like very similar, to energies, a similar thing. You know, yeah, it's very similar.
We have a lot in common, which helps.
Yeah,
and what are your favorite artists?
Like a lot of all time or like current?
Just all time and then current.
I mean, all time, bro. I mean, Stone, Zeppelin, you know, Hendrix, Freddie King, stuff like that. But man,
I love the Doors.
I think basically I tend to like stuff that is just like very human. Like the stuff that you can tell
what
the person like put their own sauce in it, you know? If something you can tell is like this person really tried to make it their own and put like some sort of groove into it, I'm like into it. If it can make me bob my head and it's like unique, I'm like great. You know, it could be a different genre, it could be fast or slow, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if it's authentic, I'm about it, you know? I like stuff from classic rock to electronic to all the places in between, but I like very specific artists and ones that are like super super unique, like people like, you know, like Frank Ocean or stuff like that, that are just like one of a kind, you know,
like
bold. Zeppelin,
like they're unapologetically themselves, and again it's like that, you know, unwatered down version of themselves. Like they don't pander or cater to anybody else. It's like, no, this is who I am, and like I'm not taking anyone else's like opinions or anything into account when creating. I know.
If you could feel that from the music, I'm usually
yeah.
You know?
Right. I know. Like a coach of mine told me, like the second someone else's opinion gets in, it's no longer art. And I was like,
I don't know.
I mean, I think that's very true. I think once you start like pandering to people, but then again, it's like in your case, I guess that's not true. You know, because it's like, you know, you're letting.
It depends. There are some songs that we all love that are like very blatantly made for commercial stuff, but like are also really good, you know?
Oh,
so
absolutely.
I think it depends.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. I mean, we've had this conversation so many times just about like, yes, there is like...
There's a sweet spot in the middle.
There is.
Is what I usually like tend to think.
Yeah, there's definitely that like catchy music that is also like so fun to listen to and definitely makes you feel a certain type of way.
Yeah.
But
strong message, deep story, but also enjoyable to bop your head to.
Of course.
That stuff exists, you know.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. And then there's also
But there's like, also stuff that's blatantly like this is for making money.
Yeah.
You know?
But we still like buy into it. I still buy
into
it.
And
it's
then
so
on
fun
the other side there's
she
stuff that's
to.
Way too artsy too, that's like, you know.
Like too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we were talking
like
earlier about just like movies, and you know, we watched The Irishman this last weekend, and it was like it was great. It was like there was obviously nothing wrong with it. It's a great film, but it was like the takeaway was little. You know, you're not left feeling like holy shit, that changed my life, but yet like we were talking about Midsommar, which I don't know if you guys have seen, but it's just so bold and like unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. Like the way it's shot, the colors, everything. It's very strange, and it's like the takeaway you get from that, even though I didn't like that movie as much as I liked The Irishman, it's like that boldness I respect more just because it's like that's never been done. Right. And it's like you could tell it was coming from a place of like not someone trying to like make a cash cow or anything. They were just like, this is what I like to do and I'm just like putting it out. And you know, like how it was received, that doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. It's like the result of it doesn't necessarily matter. Just the fact that they were like willing to do like 100% themselves, you know, which mm-hmm. I love. And like, you have to always at least respect that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You
totally.
Know?
Yeah.
Of course we were listening to, like Jack Harlow earlier. I don't know if you guys
that
know
guy's who that tight.
Is. Yeah. But so we've been listening to him and just like his sound is, it's very like now, like it sounds very modern and it's not like any, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's very different. Like that's the reason I like it so much, but it's still like, it's not anything that, man, this makes it sound so bad. This makes me sound like I'm shitting
I think,
on him.
I
when
think
really I like him a lot,
say.
But it's like,
the current
it's,
pulse,
it is, it
but
is.
He put his own vision.
Exactly.
So it's
like he's
half
on
you
the,
can notice that it's just wavy, but half of you is like, wow, that's like, this dude really is doing his own thing.
He really is doing his own
and
thing, but it just
that.
Happened
That's
to fit right into like this wave of like
yeah.
that sounding.
It's what he actually
music.
Likes.
Exactly,
know? Like,
exactly.
Whether or not you're a fan of the genre or not, like when you watch those videos and you see him in interviews, like you can tell this individual like really is doing what.
Well, and
he
you hear it. You hear it in the music. It's like, all right, this dude's yeah. putting in major time and effort and like
yeah.
really like thinking about this stuff. Like it is his life, and you know, you can just, you spot it immediately.
Yeah.
When it's like, all right, well, I know exactly why they made this song.
Yeah, biddies shake their booty to this music.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He seems like a dude I would very much enjoy having a beer with.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
But,
me too. Even
yeah.
though he can't drink yet,
some
he's
people
20 years old.
Who like don't necessarily like rap music just by the genre itself wouldn't like it. You know?
Yeah, no.
Which
absolutely.
Is what you're also saying. Is like, it is very specific in what's current, but like, it's real, you know? And I for sense, I like it, you know?
Yeah.
My dad probably wouldn't listen to
oh,
it.
Oh, no,
like,
same. Yeah, they would know. Laugh. They would laugh.
He
yeah.
seems like a
totally
cool
different
dude.
Generation.
He does. He does. But what is it that you guys create? Like, what type of music are you guys working on right now?
Man, well, for our clients, we create whatever they need. But for what we like to create on our own, it's a mixture of, like, R&B and, like, you know, it's very soulful and jazzy. The chordage is very, like, very very like a lot of sevenths and mm-hmm. half steps and stuff, but the it's very like slow tempo R&B. The drums are very like Jimmy produces amazing modern sounding drums and makes them fucking groove really really nicely. It's usually like low tempo groovy wavy music, but we try to like, you know, put our own self into all the songs and
uh-huh.
each song, you know, it's our genre I guess is still developing. We're still creating new sounds and going deeper into sound
yeah.
design every day, you know, but we tend to, you know, hail from like R&B, jazzy, hip hop, bluesy, funky rock stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
There's an element of jazz.
It's a mixture of like all that stuff, but
yeah.
it's very, you know,
I mean, it,
content
it,
with the sound today.
It baffles
yeah,
me.
It sounds really clean and good. And like yeah. Jimmy does a great job of, he always comes in with new drums that sound like fucking the best drums you've ever heard, you know? But it's like the chordage is like, oh, you're like, wow, that like reminds me of some structure that, you know, I've heard in songs I've heard a million times. So it's like we try to mix the old and the new.
Yeah.
I call it like boom baptism, like a rebirth of like old school shit
okay.
with modern technology.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like that.
We have like electronic elements in it as well. So
yeah.
It's just a mixture of everything that we love.
It's all very like groovy and soulful
yeah.
and like makes you bop, you know. A lot of it is
like
oh,
that.
It just we're
I
just
like
trying
that.
To make each other bop. You know?
Yeah. I was
not
thinking
super
about
fast tempo, you know.
I was thinking about if I
Sometimes.
Was to ever create music, like I was like, man, that's a whole. It's very similar to like what an actor would go through. It's like, oh, you know, finding like that type and exactly like who you are and blah blah blah. But with music, it's like. Maybe this just happened so naturally to you guys just because of like the music you were listening to and then you picked up an instrument and that was just kind of like what you liked.
Mm-hmm.
But like going at it where it's like, oh, I want to do music now, like from not doing music at all.
Mm.
Was that something where you were like, oh, I want to do this kind of music? Is it like, oh, you made
oh
a choice, or was it something
yeah,
that
of.
You just kind of like fell into?
It's like when I first got into making music. Like I was playing as a kid, but when I like reintroduced it to myself later in life, which was when I was about like 18,
uh-huh.
I had a friend who was producing on Ableton, and I was like kind of interested in it, so I kind of started learning from him, And I just picked it up from just like making beats on Ableton and then building them into like full on compositions. And that was like kind of where I started at.
At what age?
18. I was 18 doing it.
But at that time, when you were starting Ableton, were you like, oh, I'm going to be like a great composer? Or was it just
I just wanted to make beats. I just wanted to make beats. And, yeah. And that's what I fell in love with. And then I started picking up studio gear. And I started like making a studio in my bedroom and in my place in Hollywood. And all I had was like a push and two monitors.
Ableton was just like so much fun.
Yeah. And I would just like sit in the room and make music. And then I started buying synthesizers. And then I started just like upgrading, you know, like the shit in my studio. And then finally like getting my own studio. I just finally got my own studio like a year ago.
That's sick, man. That must have been huge.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's where we've been like working out of like almost every single day.
Yeah, we've been cooking, yeah. Bro.
Just like cooking.
When you were saying clients, who are your like, yeah, what is it you guys do?
So we started working with Extreme Music, which is a licensing company for film, TV, and commercial music. Mm-hmm. It's partnered with Hans Zimmer. So we've been doing music with them for like 3 months now, which has been like the coolest journey. It's just constant challenges and like do something you've never done before. And we're like, great. And we do it and learn how to do something or, you know, it's a genre or, you know, something that we've never done before. And that retain, like we're learning so much about how to retain certain quality through doing completely different projects. It's been really, really cool. But on our own, you know, we work with artists. We're, you know, Jimmy produces for rappers. I produce for singers and stuff. We're working with my friend Jackson England right now. This girl, Eva B. Ross. And we have different people we work with. Jimmy's got clients. But we try to just anything that can make us better known to other people who don't know our music while also teaching us a new genre.
We'll take on
whatever clients because it's always something that benefits us, whether it's like money or not, but like just getting to try something new and put that and touch someone's fan base who, you know, doesn't know us. We're constantly trying to get new and different genres and different people in there, you know, from pop singers to rappers to, you know.
Whatever. And what do you guys physically do, I guess, other than just, like, broad networking? What are you guys doing, like, actively to get new clients? Is it stuff that's all social media, or have you guys just, like, known enough people?
Dude, it's been, like, through people. Just, like, being involved in the music industry, just talking to people, just work. Just
well, I'm glad you asked, because we are starting a company. We're actually going to unveil all of that very soon, everybody. Check it out. But Drop Top Music, we're going to be a professional music-making group.
And that's the two of you guys, like, coming together and doing this?
Us and
our whole collective team.
Okay. Yeah. And are those guys that, what is it called? Sorry, what's the music library? Extreme Music. So the guys at Extreme Music, are those the people that you guys are going to be working with under Drop Top?
Not just them, but just everyone in, you know, our network.
That'll be okay. If the client wants something like that, then that is part of our network.
Okay.
You can access them, I guess, through us if you need to.
Okay.
But we through everybody, you know, my mentor and his connections to the popular music world and professional studios in LA and this and that, where anybody from a single person to a label needing something for a sync or something, we can handle it, and we're going to put that out there.
This also might be an incredibly broad question, but just like
me, dude.
Jimmy
on the over here.
But starting out, like just starting out, before you had these connections or anything,
how did you do it?
Yeah, how did you
just
do
being
it?
Being passionate, man. Just
like loving
people,
it, just,
you
doing
know,
it all the time.
Just probably, I'm sure when you go to coffee and you talk to someone in line, like, what do? You probably tell them exactly what you do with your whole heart because you live it and love it. You know, I think we just, everywhere we went, we were always like, even when we go out to bars and meet, like, we're always just end up finding the music people and like, going to the corner and listening to beat on someone's iPhone. It's just like, you know. It's just what we do. It's like if this wasn't making us money, we'd still be doing it.
Yeah.
We'd still be trying to find these people and wanting to get better at the craft. Man.
I love that. I really love that, man. And I think it's so true. I think it's so true. Like, as long as you're just passionate about it, it's like those people will come. Yeah. It's like you're passionate about it, you happen to talk about it, and then sure enough, someone else is talking about it with you.
Yeah, I think we're fortunate that we have a very strong opinion about it in our lives.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, it's a problem that they really don't know what they want to do, which sucks.
Dude,
but
man,
if you know what you want to do, you can make it happen through hard work and time. And
put all,
if
and
you
like
have
love,
a goal and a vision,
and like, yeah,
and
all
every
your
day
energy
you put your
it.
Energy and who you talk to towards making 100% it happen.
100% of
it. It'll eventually, like, you'll find the right people, you know? It'll work itself out.
Give me
we
some
were set
examples.
Up by Jessica to not even be friends, and like the music people found the music people, you know. So it's just like, I don't know.
Huh?
If you wear it on your sleeve, people know.
That's very true. That's very true. Give me some examples of the people that you guys work with. I know you're saying you produce for rappers, but who else? And like, what type of music is it? Is it stuff for like commercial stuff, or is it over?
It's kind of just all over the place.
That's fun.
I put out
I'm sure that
an
makes
album
it exciting.
With this rapper Landon Knox, you can check that out on Spotify. I just put out a track with this guy Benzie.
Yeah.
Track's name is Gold. Drew gave me some saucy guitar licks on
it.
I
play some guitar.
It's really
on
cool.
It.
You should check it out.
What's it called? Gold?
Gold by Benzie.
Benzie?
Produced
that
us.
Already yeah. sounds sick.
It makes you just want to dance and be happy.
Okay,
it's
that's
really
already my
incredible.
Jam.
It's super.
I can already tell you I probably so fuck with this song.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, you heard it?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah, pull that up.
Oh, it's already pulled up.
Oh, it's going up. It's going up. I wanted to. I had this. I had this question so long ago, and I was like, "Fuck, I gotta ask Drew." When you make a song, and it's just like, do you know how good it's gonna be? Like, as you're making it, or when it's done, do you ever just go like,
sometimes,
"Holy shit,
yeah.
this song
yeah,
is
sometimes.
Just like."
Sometimes it's like certain stuff stands out.
Like, even though you're biased towards it, you're
yeah.
just like, people are gonna fucking love this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to Hotel California, and I was like, how do you not, like, listen to this and be like, oh, yeah, this song's going to be, like, in history for the rest of time.
I'm sure that was their
you
reaction.
Know?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that's what they thought.
Reaction.
I wonder if
after
they were like,
they heard
oh,
the
this
record
song?
Mixed and mastered and everything, they probably were there like,
yeah,
I'm
I think this
be,
song
so
will be,
so
like,
interested to know how
this
that's
is
going to
be.
Yeah,
because like,
that's also, like, one of the best albums of all time.
Yeah, man.
Two.
Those guys, dude, they don't get enough credit, I feel like.
The Eagles?
Because they're so mellow as, like, people and as a unit, but their music is, like, so tight.
Oh, they have, like, one of the highest-selling albums of all time.
I guess with the youth. You don't hear a lot of, like, under
30-year-olds.
Oh,
yeah.
Like,
no, you're
man,
right. No,
Eagles.
You're right. You're right.
It's always,
yeah,
like, Zeppelin.
Rolling Stones
and
the Beatles.
Like,
yeah, right. For whatever
yeah,
reason, they kind of missed it.
Even though it's,
yeah.
like, everybody's, like, karaoke song, right?
Is
Hotel
everyone's.
California.
Everyone.
You sing that in a bar. Yeah.
You know, it's also
people
funny.
Will sing it with
Dad's
you.
Dad's favorite song.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What about yeah. Lynyrd Skynyrd? Do you think they
they're
get the
great.
Credit?
Yeah,
oh, I mean Lynyrd Skynyrd's.
I mean,
dude, I love Lynyrd
Skynyrd. The youth know, I feel like.
Yeah.
You think the youth know?
Well, like Lynyrd if it's Skynyrd? Been passed down to the generations. What?
I feel like the country,
Sweet Home Alabama.
Like, you know, the whole country scene. I feel like they still.
Oh, I'm sure
love.
It definitely stuck with them.
Yeah,
yeah, it's very well documented.
We're out here in LA. And
yeah.
the culture out here just is changing so fast.
Well, and it's like, and what is the like?
Yeah,
what is like the culture of LA? Like, other than like old timey movies?
It's a salad, dude.
It's a
big
melting
pot.
Yeah.
No, it's not a melting pot. It's
mixing.
A salad. It's a bunch of different things that are the same, like different things, but in, put together in the same dish, but aren't like necessarily like, you know, they're combined, but they're not like a melting pot is like.
It's not a tossed salad.
No, it's like it's a mixed salad.
So
it's
like there's
we got little pockets
like
of everybody just all in the same dish.
Yeah, like
you know?
Okay,
Hills,
it's not like all just like you go here and you can get like I don't know.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like in a salad, there's carrots, there's broccoli. It's all like in there.
So is a melting pot though.
But that's like
it's
melting.
It's
like
literally the same exact thing.
Dude,
no.
stop turning into a metaphor.
Well, you guys were going.
Yeah, there's
like
just some high like
towards
dumb
the same
no.
metaphor.
Argument that we don't even need to have.
It's
a
melted salad in a pot.
Melted,
that's what it
a
is.
A melted salad.
It's a melted salad.
But yes, yeah, you're. Yes, we're all saying the same thing. LA is just a whole
there
bunch
is no
of different
culture.
Shit.
Like, there's no like history other than like in the last what 50
well,
years.
Unfortunately, the media is like Hollywood culture. Even though that's
oh
not, like,
yeah,
what it is. But I would say LA is like street tacos and traffic, dude. Like.
You could say that about New York. I mean, maybe not street tacos. There's still tacos.
Yeah, but there's like something special about this.
Just walk around
about LA. That's like, why are so many people here? You know, it's like,
yeah, it's the best.
People are here.
It's
for
the Mecca, reason. Dude. It is the Mecca. Yeah. Like,
there is
when
culture
you like see
too,
the sunset and the Hollywood sign and the same.
It's
like,
a culture. It's like I'm everyone. Really in
you're
this
like,
bitch.
In the
I'm here.
Like, you know, everyone,
yeah, I swear, at least one time a day I'll be driving and I'm just like, I'm actually here in LA. Like, I'm living in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You get like 10 different countries, and like if you go 20 minutes in any direction,
the
it's
thing
like
is,
you're in
the you
valley, you're in a desert.
Countries.
You go like downtown, you're in a like
different
you go that way, you're by the beach.
Yeah.
You know, you go,
and then you're like, in the hood.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. yeah.
Then you're in like Big Bear if you go that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
It's like
so
dude,
weird. So
California
weird.
It's just a whole lot.
Yeah, Santa Clarita, yeah. it feels, it does not feel like L.A.
Yeah,
Burbank doesn't feel like
no,
L.A. It feels
yeah.
like Northern California. It's
yeah.
weird,
it's
dude.
A bunch of different cities.
It is a bunch of different cities,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
It is.
Like, they're literally Koreatown.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah,
it's like,
and then you
know,
and then you go to, yeah, but, like, Koreatown almost feels like Rampart and everything almost feels like
Koreatown
Temecula
feels
or something.
Like L.A.
Or, like, Pomona.
Pomona.
It does. Almost.
Yeah, it does.
It's weird.
Definitely.
It's like very like
industrial.
Yeah, industrial.
It's
exactly.
like Koreatown. Exactly.
I love Koreatown, dude. I want some.
Did you say you don't
food.
Like?
I like Koreatown.
You do.
I want some kimchi in my face right now. It sounds so good.
Yeah,
dude. Wyatt, how are you?
Bring
man?
A barbecue. Out
Let's
there,
reverse
so.
The interview
dude,
real quick.
Whoa.
Wyatt, what's your day been like? What do you want to be
dude,
when you
today,
were a child?
An actor.
Really?
Yeah.
From when?
Actually, when I was really little, I wanted to be like an NFL football player.
Really?
Yeah.
What? When did that dream die? What day were you like, man, I'm not going to be 6'5"? When did that happen?
Oh, I still have that dream. That's not what's holding me back. Oh, it's nothing about the
would
size.
Would you be a kicker? You could be a kicker, and you could probably be a professional kicker, legit.
But no, I couldn't. Like, knowing me, I could not.
Why not?
I could not. Yeah, the feet mobility, that's not my thing.
It's not your thing?
Yeah. I would say,
Jesus, dude, just tackle
when did it stop? I don't know. Oh, the cat?
Did Hector paw you?
Hector?
Crazy.
What
Hector? I said actor.
Oh, actor. I thought you called
Hector.
Your cat Hector.
Hector?
Nope.
What was the question? When did I stop wanting to be a pro football player?
Yeah, and become an actor. When did that day happen?
Dude, I actually wanted to be an actor. We were talking about my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a super hot mom.
Oh.
And she was like, yo, she's like, you're a star.
Huh.
Having this MILF call me a star, I was like, all right, I'll
wow,
do it.
What's her name?
Who is
Shauna?
Shauna,
yeah,
dude. Shout out Shauna.
Dude, she's...
we love you, Shauna. Come to the podcast.
She's definitely going
to
listen to
this. Come next week.
This,
let's
too.
Fly Shauna out for the podcast.
And so, yeah, she told me that. And then I think, like, the next day I dropped my Spanish class and went into, like, a theater class.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then
you're
fell
like...
in love with it, dude. I was like, oh,
yeah,
this is,
dude,
like, the funnest nice. Thing I've ever done.
Dope.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and then I did, like, high school theater, and it was a total
nice.
Joke, and I was,
were you
like,
the role,
only
lead
one,
role
like,
in anything?
Huh?
Were you the lead role in anything?
No, I never got the lead, because I technically started when I was a junior in high
okay.
school.
So late,
like,
late bloomer.
My senior year, I did every production, but, like, my second semester of junior year was, like, when I really started. That was, like, I dropped my classes and whatever, enrolled into theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did a musical, which I never thought I would have done.
What musical?
It was Happy Days, the
no
musical.
Way.
I played Chachi.
No way!
Yeah,
you were Chachi?
I was Chachi, dude.
Wow.
I was a badass Chachi. And, dude, I just had so much fun. I just, like, got in with all these really weird theater kids.
Tight.
And all the band kids.
You developed your people. You found your family.
Yeah, and then I learned, because I was... And then I learned, like, actual actors are just, like, normal-ass people.
Huh.
It's like always, like the theater kids are like theater
the
kids
ones
for
that
a reason.
Are like,
they're like the ones who are like
or not
super strange.
It's like, dude, it's just a cheat.
It's just like, yo, just relax. You don't have to try so
sick.
Hard.
Sick. And did you yeah. do? Would you say you're one of those people? Or would you say you're like
a theater kid?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
no. You haven't met a theater kid.
So you're like
oh, theater kids
so you're
are
cooler,
like a different
you're like a little,
race.
You're like
a different species. So strange.
Huh.
Yeah.
Shout out theater kids.
Yeah, you guys are fucking weird. They are the strangest people, but
and then you're
lovable.
Like, and then you're
lovable.
Like, I want to be in motion pictures.
Yeah, so I mean, I knew I was like, all right, well, this is like theater isn't my thing, which is really funny because that was in high school. I was like, oh, I don't want to do theater. I want to do movies and TV and all that fun stuff. And then I actually now I'm like, wow, I love theater.
Mm-hmm.
I love theater, and now I'm like. I don't know how I feel about TV and film. I'm like, so just about the theater shit right now.
That's dope.
Yeah, yeah, man.
So if you could be in one Broadway musical, what would it be?
Oh, dude, it's the one I'm working on right now.
Really?
Yep.
Nice.
Which is called Plug It. Plug It.
Amadeus.
Amadeus! Get your tickets.
Amadeus, bro.
Sick.
Playing Mozart.
Really?
Yeah. So
does it come to L.A.?
Well, I don't even know. There's a lot of things that are like in the works, but I'm just working on this character right now. So it's just, it would probably be in about a year.
I'll get a ticket.
Oh, dude, I would hope so.
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
Man, I would love to have you guys.
That's my friend. Yeah, tell people I can.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so
Amadeus, and you're playing Mozart. That's sick.
Fingers crossed. So yeah, this dude's teaching me the.
I'm good.
But the Brett's been teaching me. You know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I've been trying to play like an hour a day on the piano.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really good. I mean, I can tell you have some...
Is he a good teacher?
Some sort of chops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's the best. I mean, I try to get here, whatever, on Wednesdays when we normally do this. You know, we'll play or whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, man. Everything's good.
Sick. I mean,
it's really good, bro.
Sounds great.
Yeah, dude.
And so that, like, when someone's acting on... When you're developing this character for a year, are you doing other stuff, or is that like your main focus? Is one.
It's definitely like my main focus. I mean, of course, to be honest, I don't even know if this play is going to get done. So this is fairly premature. But just in case it does, it's looking really certain. Like it's looking good. But you know, just in case, like I just want to have that extra time to just work on it. So I'm just preparing as if I already have it and.
Dope. That's
obviously,
the way to do it,
yeah.
Man.
I mean, I'll obviously be doing other stuff, but I'm just trying to look at this like as if it's the real deal, and you have like you book something and you have 3 months before you start shooting to work on something. So I'm just like trying to get that practice in, like for real, right now.
Well, I'm glad you're prioritizing what you need to prioritize.
Thanks, man.
Bro.
Thanks. It's like so fun, dude. It's so fun. It's the funnest thing ever. It's like every time I'm.
Is Mozart a cool dude, or like is he a dick in the play, or what? Like,
oh,
what's
he's
the
a
character?
Total dick.
Really,
he's a dick, and he's just.
Is he like I am the best? Does he know he's the best?
Well, he does.
Does he know he's like a beast?
Apparently, because he was the first person to ever catalog his own music or catalog music.
No one ever wrote it down.
No one ever wrote their shit down and like cataloged it because he knew where he was in history.
He was like aware.
Yeah, he also like, named himself Amadeus, which means of God. So he thought he was like
a
descendant of God.
A prick. I can't wait to see.
He was a prick, but he was like what I've come to realize. Like, he wasn't a dick. He was just so unaware. Like he was just so unaware of how big of an asshole he was that he wasn't an ass. It's like he doesn't even realize that it.
He thought he had a lot of friends, and everyone's like, "Fucking
well, he
Mozart
actually did
here,
it,
dude.
Yeah, and which was like his downfall and shit. You know, it's
he's
crazy.
Kind of a loner.
Well, he died at 35, like penniless. You know, he had no money and he had no friends. Like, yeah,
damn.
Yeah, man, really interesting.
And we're still out here playing.
No family,
bizarre
thing.
No, I mean, he had a dad. He had a dad, but yeah, no family. His sisters died when they were really little, and he was like a prodigy.
Incredible.
Wonder where all those royalties are going to.
Yeah. It's
who owns the music? It's probably some like Atlanta,
like,
some big.
That's so true. But dude, if you look,
because
he also had like
probably one of the bigger music companies in the world.
Well, he also had like one of the biggest libraries of music. He had so much
like multiple symphonies, bro.
Yeah,
can you imagine writing a symphony worth of music and then be like, "Hey, that was fun. Should I do it again?"
Well, they said, the amount of work he did in the whatever 35 years that he was alive would take any other composer 200 years.
Yeah, he's nuts. Yeah, he's like an absolute genius.
So, it's fun shit, man.
Yeah.
That type of stuff. Like that,
people only come across
that is like the dream. That's like the dream role. So I was like, dude, like I just have to do it for real. For real.
Do you get to play on stage?
Oh yeah!
Really? Like you have to be Mozart on stage.
Oh dude, yeah, bro.
So you have
for
to
three and a half hours, or 3 hours, or
just
whatever.
Playing Mozart symphony.
Yeah, for 3 hours straight. Yeah,
sounds like a tough gig.
I know.
Is that what you're learning right now on the piano?
Dude, terribly. I don't
know. You're learning Mozart?
Huh?
You're learning Mozart?
I'm learning Mozart, and I'm learning...
What an incredible experience just for you as, like, a human. Yeah. Like, dude, what a role. Dude, it's like, oh, you're just going to... You learn Mozart.
This is acting. It's like you just learn these skills, like, on accident that you have for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, you know, I watched that movie Whiplash, and I'm like, that's so cool. Now that kid knows how to be, like, a kick-ass drummer forever.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Like, on accident, and got paid to play.
Like those driving movies. Like, it's like, oh, you probably, like... Or at least, driver,
you know, and even if that's not you, and I don't know, because I want to be able to do it on stage, like play and, you know, do scenes and stuff, but they're most likely going to turn it, right? Mm-hmm. So they can't see. I hope they don't. But if that's the case, it's like you still, just the research of doing it, like you learn so much, you know, like hard, regardless if you're playing or not, I have to know music, like. So well, like the theory and everything, so that when I'm talking about it, I'm not just like, you know,
blowing. You gotta jump into our world. What if you become like,
that's what's so exciting, man. And Brett and I have been talking like all rock the time. Star
musician. Yeah,
you know, you never know like your capabilities in music until you tap into it.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. I always loved and was like fascinated by music.
It's the dopest,
you know,
thing, dude.
And that's why I'm like, who knows? Like, I have no idea. You know, I love doing it so far.
It's crazy, dude. It's like this language that we all deep down, like our souls understand. Know, and you just constantly just like tap more into it.
It's like language,
but it's just out there, and we're just grabbing it. Yeah, it's like, dude. And you can tell it's like
universal
old
communication.
And ancient. It's been there forever, and it's like it's not even necessarily creating your own stuff, but more just finding things that are like bridging all of us together.
The idea of music still like baffles me.
That's crazy.
It's
right?
Just like there's just
you can't
like sounds
hold
that are
it
made,
you can't see it, you
but
can't
yet you communicate
it
to
none
anyone. It doesn't matter what language they speak, it's like they hear it,
your soul
feel it
hears
in the same
it,
way.
Every cell of your body,
it's weird,
can, like,
so weird. That's
it.
Why it's like if aliens were to come and they could perceive sound, like that would be
we'd play like a Travis Scott song, I'm like, it's lit,
and they would be like, "This is like, our song." Yeah.
Some, you know, or
yeah,
someone who's
like,
who's,
we
who's
love
a,
this dancing. Song.
Who's like an overrated
we
rapper?
Love this song.
Like Lil Peep, is that a person? Lil
Peep, Lil
Peep? So a song like that.
Yeah, Lil Peep.
Oh,
wait, Lil Peep died.
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn, that was a bad example.
Oh shit!
Skirt. And anyway,
we're like, I'm like, does that guy exist? It's like, yeah, he died.
It's
like,
oh.
What? Such a back roller coaster. Yeah.
He's still alive or something. No, I'm just kidding.
I was thinking Lil Pump.
Lil Pump, that's
is he around?
Right. He's around, right? Okay. That's the ascetic guy. Ascetic!
I know all of
them. That dude's crazy.
Really?
All these Lils are going so fast.
Who else? Who else is there? Lil Uzi.
Curly.
What's
Mo.
Up with the trend?
Like, he's like old. He's like
what's
old
up
now?
With the trend to put Lil in front of your name?
Or like young.
I thought
like
that was like
something.
I thought that was like is around like, like, I thought that was like around Lil Wayne. I thought that thing already all died.
Well,
like what you had Lil like
Lil Yachty. I mean
no, but that's because
yeah,
they were. That was
but
when
no,
they, like,
it like came back.
That's because they were
it came
young.
Back.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And I was like,
was just
"I
like
thought
a...
that was so like early 2000s, like, and I thought that was stupid in the early 2000s."
But
like
what I'm saying is like. Lil, it's just like there's so many people who like go towards that.
You just use that.
I'm just like
name.
Wondering why, like,
how does that make you unique? Yeah.
Well, it was popular after Lil Pump.
Yeah.
And everybody started doing it.
Well, it was popular after
like,
Lil,
like, Wayne.
Lil Wayne,
or like Lil John, or like
Lil John. There's a lot more Lil.
What was that? There was Lil.
Dude, Wayne. Lil Wayne, dude.
What's
the other
one?
I just,
or, no, I'm thinking
shout
of
out Lil Wayne, real quick.
It's gotta be like a Lil.
Our whole generation
like
was
a Lil
shaped by
shaped
Wayne.
By that guy.
Yeah.
Bro, what a guy.
Legendary. You know what's funny?
Weezy,
it's like,
baby.
I listen to like some of the best rappers right now, and I listen to like him, and I'm like.
He was the godfather. He was the first.
Yeah, he's the first to do that shit.
I was gonna
like,
say
real,
it's
yeah.
so much more advanced now. I was gonna say like the rhymes and the flows are like so much more
yeah.
advanced. But
yeah.
he was. You're right. He was like the godfather of that.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, the pioneers of stuff are always like old school, and then
yeah,
someone takes it
yeah,
to the next level.
Like,
but, like,
yeah, you're
he
right.
set the footprint, and as you're saying, a bunch of dudes these days are,
right.
are taking what he set forth and making it way more serious than that.
We were talking about how, what's his name? The dude from Matchbox 20. We were talking about Santana. Like, the very first song that you heard that you loved. right? And I was talking about that song "Smooth" by Santana. Rob, what's his name?
I don't know. He's just the guy from that song.
Rob,
that
Santana whatever. Played with. Rob, and that's how shout sick, out Rob, dude. How I sick that song name. Was. Rob but in that something. Song, I was like, "Yo, that dude,
so
like,
smooth."
That dude, Rob, whatever. Whatever the fuck let's his name up, was, dude. He was from like Matchbox the pioneer 20, right? of like. Of like becoming a fuckboy who's like a like
Rob this, Thomas.
Rob Thomas.
Shout out Rob Thomas. No, he was tight. I liked Rob Thomas.
Rob Thomas was amazing, dude.
I can't name another one. Matchbox 20. Right now,
that was like the best shit I ever heard when I was like shit. Like 5 or 6, I wanna say.
Yeah. Really?
Whenever that Santana album came out.
That's a long time ago now, man.
Probably like 98.
You definitely had been kids.
They made that song on what?
How old are you?
24.
Or I'm 25. We're like the same age.
Drew, how old are you?
I'll be 26 in a month. So yeah, which dude, is you're crazy.
Shit, what?
When did
I'm old?
When
bro.
Did that song come out?
What should I do for my birthday, guys?
I want to say like 98.
You go to the club and find your wife.
Yeah, go to the supper club. Come to the supper club.
Yeah, well, you set me up with my.
With your
baby.
Cuban
supper
wife, dude.
Club. What's a supper club?
The mother of my future
it's
children.
It's like a... It's 1999. Like a club and that serves food. It's like a nightclub that serves food.
Supper club. Makes supper sense. Club. I'm going to look... But, the supper club
totally
in LA?
1999.
It was 99.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That super sick album cover.
Yeah.
You guys remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. I just pulled it up here, actually.
Yeah. That was some amazing shit.
Is it a private members club or is it open to the public?
What?
The supper club. It's a nightclub. Permanently closed. That's what Google says.
What's the supper club? What is this?
Private. Is I don't know, dude. It's a bar? Hollywood Club Girl? I don't know, dude. I'm going to put my phone down. But yeah, I'm going to just send me the deets, bro. I'll go. Shout out the supper club. Go visit Wyatt at work.
It's called El Floridita.
Oh, well.
Is the name of the place.
Oh,
but.
Well, that would have helped with my Google search.
I thought you were looking up a definition of a supper club.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it is a supper club.
Mm. What's the definition of a supper club?
It's like a nightclub that serves food.
Got it.
I believe.
Okay, yeah, that's what you're describing. Yeah. I thought you were
which is great.
Of it.
Dude, and great the bands cool. there, they have like 13-man bands that play live
oh, so like
at
you,
this place.
Do you sit and eat and watch while
and
you're
watch,
eating?
And people are salsa dancing everywhere, and there's the band.
That's rad.
And it's the best Cuban
so you're like,
food
let's,
you've ever had.
Let's go get dinner. There's
and
a
get,
sweet band,
and
you're
get,
eating and
watching.
That's actually
this band.
The
they
greatest
three
thing
sets.
Ever.
It's so tight, dude.
I want to open a weed-friendly supper club one day, where it's like you order some blunts and a meal, and there's just entertainment.
You heard they opened the first like cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, like weed cafe in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's right by where we used to live. You know, yo, Brett.
Well, the first, like,
you know,
publicly legal one.
Lorelei
yeah.
closed down and opened up as the first weed cafe in America.
The first legal yeah. one in Los it's, Angeles, but yeah.
Lorelei no, it's so in America. First
really?
Weed cafe.
There's a lot
in
of
America.
Private ones in America,
oh,
but like legal.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like legal
God.
That you
yeah,
as
oh, right.
any person,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
any
I mean,
patron
yeah,
can
yeah,
go to.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of like
still very sick.
I know,
still, like awesome.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I guess it's crazy.
There's got to be other ones, but this is probably the first like licensed, legal,
yeah,
like
legitimate place where you taxed. Can like go to a menu and order and like. I was like, that's crazy.
Great concept, man. I'm all for weed. Changing the world, man.
It's only a matter of time before you can buy it at like grocery stores or something.
Yeah, they have to do a little more research into it, but yeah. There's components of weed that very much should be in a 7-Eleven, and there's components of weed that should be in a hospital. And they have to do the research to figure out like what mixture of what needs to be where. And then when they do that, they can like make it the proper commodity. I think there's so little because of the government's policy on the federal government's policy on weed, there hasn't been like allowed people to study it enough in like real hospitals with like real medicine alongside like drug trials and like getting a group of people, we're gonna have them smoke for a week and like see the effects, you know, on their health. And those studies haven't been like legally publicly done in America. So I think once that stuff happens and they truly understand what where they need to put what from this beautiful plant, you know, because there's so much going on. There's CBD, there's all this different stuff, you know. So when they figure out what needs to be in the stores and what needs to be in the hospital, I think it will be, you know, it won't be all of it, I think.
What do you mean by that? Like, what won't? One won't be all of it. Like, you mean they'll literally be, like, splitting, like, taking things out and putting things in that make it, like, good?
Like, have you heard of CBD products? That's literally them, like, isolating just the CBD of the weed plant. Same thing with this too. Same with the THC and the distillate here. It's like they've got 99% THC or whatever in your little pen. Mm-hmm. They can do that, you know? But the thing is, there's, like, 60 to 100 other cannabinoids besides those two that they have yet to, like, even figure out what they do. But we know that when you smoke the whole plant, there's something that's good with physical stuff. And, you know, you see the kids with seizures and this. We're only getting, like, through science and understanding more and more, figuring out, like, exactly what chemical does what for what, you know? And so they can be like, boom, you got stomach cancer, here's this. Hmm. Boom, you got a headache, here's this. You got a knee ache, here's this, you know? When they can do that with the plant, then it's going to be like, you know, bada bing, bada boom.
I see what you're saying.
And then the THC, which is the stuff that gets you high, will probably be the, like, stuff that's like stuff mainly that in the 7-Eleven, you know, or what, or whatever.
And then there's just good old weed.
Yeah, and then there's just...
I'd rather smoke.
I say the plant, if it's grown well and it's tested and whatever, just weed itself is the best way to go.
Just grow it yourself.
Yeah, you can do that now.
Outside. Really? But
get like a strain or a clone from someone legit and go for it.
And, like, it's cool? Like, it's legal? And
well, in California and Colorado and all the places in the States, they have their own laws. And in L.A. or in California, you can grow, like, 6 plants per private household.
Yeah. Huh. That's all you need.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know you
didn't
could
know
grow
that?
Anything. Nah.
You can't, like, sell it and you can't smoke it outside, but if you and your personal... want to grow some for yourself, you're totally allowed to in the states that allow it now. Yeah,
that's crazy. I had no idea. I didn't realize
there's just
we were
a
that
set
far
amount.
Along.
Yeah, there's a set amount per the state.
Of course,
you know, so I'm sure in Colorado
you can get a license to grow more too.
Yeah, you can apply as long as you pay for it. It's like whatever. But in Washington and in, you know, Colorado and California, they all have their own specific.
Like, yeah, deals, numbers all and all that stuff. Yeah,
you
know, yeah, all
those rules. You can do this, you can do that. You can't do this, you can't do that.
Yeah. Who's checking?
People are starting to check. People are definitely starting to check.
Huh?
I'm 18 and I can go in a shop.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was 21.
If you have a medical card, you can
Oh.
Which is the, right. It's like the easiest thing in the world to do.
You just go to some place, which was like 2 minutes away.
You can do it on your phone now, bro. Yeah. You could literally apply for it on your phone and within 10 minutes, get a medical card. If you pay $30, you can get a medical card.
You don't have
card
to pay taxes
in,
either. We
during
do
this podcast.
No.
Yeah, you don't have to pay taxes on it.
Well, it depends on the store and
the store.
License.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Dude, yeah, I remember when I got my med card at 18. That's when, like, dispensaries were only med cards. And there's this place called
that's a beautiful
Dolatella.
Dolatella, bro.
I would get...
They had the 2 for a thing.
All my friends gave me, like, money at the end of school to get some weed for them. And they had this, like, deal. It's like you spend, like, $500 and they give you, like, a free ounce or something like that. So I would just, like, get everyone their weed and I would just get, like, a whole ounce to myself.
And not tell anyone? That's cool.
No, yeah, I would just...
Yeah,
was,
you're
like,
just like, that's my take.
Yeah.
You take it or leave it. Or don't get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, all my friends were stoked too. Just got, I was the only one that had a med card, so everyone was just like hitting me up for weed. And
yeah,
just going through like
classic, like hitting up the person with the med card to go
like,
get your weed in high school. Yeah, my best friend Marco was like my friend who had the med card, so I would just like go with him. He was like a year older than me, so he also had a license. So I was like, Mom, I'm gonna go
Dude,
hang out with Marco, and it was
my
like we go drive to get weed.
Friend convinced his mom to get him a medical card at 16.
Tight. Sounds like
crazy.
A cool mom. Mom was probably
that's
about
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a very like. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I,
sounds about right.
Now that
son.
I think about it. Now that
great
I think
idea,
about it,
son.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a cool mom. She was chill with it.
Yeah, I guess. Where's that kid at now?
He's doing all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. My mom let me smoke weed at like 17. Right when she caught me. Yeah.
That's great.
What, so she caught you and then she was like, sorry.
Okay, at
my
16,
mom used to steal
she
my
caught,
weed.
She found really? This, like, 14-gram vial I didn't smoke heavy, but like I had 14 grams for like 5 months or something. Uh-huh. And she found it when I was like halfway, and she just took it and didn't say anything to me. It was just like this awkward, like dead, like silent thing.
And you were just like, yeah.
So that half ounce.
Like, I'm missing something in my room, but I can't say what it is.
Yeah. And then one day she just got us smoking and then, you know, there, then we could.
She was like, Carter, it's all right.
Why does this conversation make me want to smoke weed so bad? I'm like, damn, I just want to.
Well, yeah, I got my fucking money card right at 18.
Yeah, we can wrap it up, man. Yeah, let's wrap it up, brother.
Sure, alright. Shout out Year One Podcast.
That was the chillest podcast we had today. Thanks for having us. Drop top music.
Dude,
absolutely.
Yeah, drop top music.
Yeah, please, dude, shout out
Carter for the
name.
Shout out.
Whatever you guys want to do.
Yo, plug the grams, bro.
Yeah, plug the grams. We got Drew Skies.
Yeah, I think it's like Drew_Skies. SKYS. Yeah, we'll be posting all of our music on there, the stuff we're doing with Extreme Music and all our upcoming productions and stuff.
Jimmy, hit your Instagram.
Jimmy.wave, check it out.
Jimmy.wave.
Jimmy.wave.
But like J I M I.
J-I-M-I.
Oh, J-I-M-I. Like Jimmy Hendrix. Alright, boy. Yep. I like that. Yeah. Alright, guys. Thank you guys so much. Next time.
Triple dub.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah.